Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God loves us, and He always will, and He speaks to us good things from the heart. Now, the Lord is coming back, and I thank Him for every day of grace, the residual days that we have, the last few days that we have to make a difference. I want more and more souls to come in. I wish everybody just got saved, but you know, Daniel did say the wicked will do wickedly, and they won't understand. Now, when you think about that statement, what if everybody had good information from a long time ago? More people may have understood. What if people walked in love a long time ago? You know, back in the days after the Exodus, when they would receive the promised land. All the, you know, some tribes, they didn't drive the Canaanites out of their zones, out of their, you know, where the portions of land where the tribes would be. Some tribes drove them out more than others. And Judah did a better job than anybody. They were always the first to battle. And I was listening to Henry Groover, and he mentioned that. And I remember that from the from reading Joshua and the book of Judges. Anyway, Judah was the one that was the tribe that was the strongest tribe. And Judah is the lineage that Jesus Christ came through, also known as Jews. You know, that's how the word Jews became, because of Judah. But there are 12 tribes in all, and then also Ephraim and Manasseh. Anyway, when they took their land back, when they were supposed to drive out the Canaanites. The Canaanites was everybody in the land, in the region of Canaan. And it was made of many nations of people. And these were witchcraft nations, children slaughtering nations. They gave their children to idol gods like Molech and Ashtaroth. And they burned them in the fire. These demons that they were worshiping, you know, idol worship, witchcraft, sorcery, ancestor worship, all of it is wrong. All of it. And when they require child sacrifice, that's wrong. Animal sacrifice was to show man that, you know, it takes blood to cover sin. But not people, not our children. That never came into the heart or mind of God. That's not something that He sanctioned. That's evil. That's why the Lord had them to drive out the Canaanites. Now, it was their job to drive them out, because it had to be on purpose. And I made the analogy that that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to receive the light of God's word and divide ourselves from darkness. We cut everything that's not of God got to go. When a person comes to that point, they're going to grow. And they're going to grow faster and better. Because that's what you have to do. You can't just receive the light and leave the darkness alone. You can't let the Canaanites stay in your land. You got to drive them out, because they have influence. And we talked about this in the last broadcast. So, and some people will say, well, that's mean to drive people out of their land. No, it's not. You have to remember, it's not personal. It's not the people that you hate. It's the demons that they are attached to. And Israel would have just had to drive them out of the land. And then they would have, but they were supposed to always stay in the love of God. Because if they stay in the love of God, God will protect them. Now, in Moses' time, and in Joshua's time, all the way up until King Saul, Israel was what you call a theocracy. God was the king of Israel. So if the nation of Israel would have followed their king, who is also known as God, and loved him and loved his ways, they would have learned his ways and they would have did better. And they would have been more stable in character and in every way of life. And they would have had a life that works. God had a plan for their sins. He had a plan for every part of their life. And as they followed his plan, they wouldn't, and not deviate, they would have been a light to the world. And the same people that they drove out would have died out. And the children of these people would have grew up and remembered that they were driven out of Canaan land. And they knew that they can't take it back because God is the king of Israel. But Israel would have loved them and helped them grow. They would have had something to see when they come and trade. They would have heard the stories of miracles. See, God put Israel in the center of the earth. If you put all the land back together like it was in the days of Peleg, Israel would be in the center of everything, of all the land. But it divided, and we got continents. We got seven continents that divided away from Israel. And even all the languages, every language that's east of Israel reads east to west, or left to right. And every language on the right side of Israel reads right to left. So, and that's west to east. God did this. He's the master of all languages. And he did this to give us clues. He left us breadcrumb trails, so to speak. But every nation would have traded with Israel, and they would have gotten the better report. This was the wholesome plan of God. This was what he had after the days of Noah. This was the plan that he had. When he found Abraham, he chose Canaan land and made a covenant with him. And Abraham kept the covenant. So the land went to Israel, and Israel, the land belongs to God. You can't take it from them. And every nation that tries to bully them into making a Palestinian state, you're telling them to undo what God did when you do that. America tried it, and we had problems. Now, I'm going to make a comment, but I don't like to make some comments without all the facts. But I do remember these things. When Bush sent Condoleezza Rice to make the peace deal with Israel, they tried to do a state too. And right after that, Katrina happened. I'm going out on a limb because I didn't read the man's book. I wish I had read the book, but I remember they were always trying to make a peace deal and make a state in Israel. And I knew that was wrong. But modern day thinking, people think it's all right now. The past is the past and last, and now they can just do what they want. But that's not true concerning Israel. That was an everlasting covenant. And if you try to break it, it's not going to work. Now, Henry Gruber talked about how the tsunami that hit Japan. And the Japanese government realized that they tried to get Israel to make a covenant with the Palestinian, make a Palestinian state. And then that's when that tsunami hit 2 days later. And they repented. And now America needs to, I just hope that our presidents and our Congress don't try that again. Because it's not going to go over well. The Lord sent a prophet to Netanyahu twice. Once before, when he ran the first time. And said he would be the prime minister, but if he give the land away or try to make a peace deal, the Lord would remove him out of office. And he laughed. And then they tried to do that, but he was voted out of office. And then before Obama was elected, the same prophet met him again and said, you're going to go back and you're going to become the prime minister again. But never give the land away. And so far, so good. I don't think he'll ever give the, try to make a peace deal. Now, the enemy is not trying to get him in trouble, so we need to pray for Benjamin Netanyahu. You know, pray for the peace of Israel. You got to pray like God tell you. If the word say do it, then do it. Anybody, I don't care who you are and how much God loves you and how much I love you, even if it's me. If you do, if you try to break an everlasting covenant, it's not going to be good for you. You need to repent. Every president, I hope they get to, they hear this word. Repent. Don't try to get Israel to give up a lot of their land. If anything needs to happen, the Palestinians need to be driven out of the way, like they should have been done centuries prior, in the first place. And if they were, if they would have driven them out of the way, they wouldn't have all these problems. But God said they would be like thorns in your side and smoke in your eyes. Now, I'm going to tell you something about the Lord. The Lord loves us. But if we walk in love and learn His ways and receive His word, then we'll have better success in our lives. We'll have godly prosperity. We'll have the things we need. We will be better off. And we won't diminish. But if you're going to be hard-headed, remember, it's not God's fault when things go south. Also, God is not going to drive out your enemies and you want them there. If you want Satan out of your life, Jesus gave you authority. You need to drive him out of your life. Man let him in the world. Man need to drive him out. When you invited sin into this world, you got to. Jesus came and did something about your sin, but now you got to do something about your enemies. If you want your enemies around, then God's not going to drive them out for you. That's your business. If it would have been wise for God to drive out the enemies, He would have did so. But they wanted their enemies to stay. They didn't have the fight in them to drive out their enemies. And they compromised when God clearly told them not to. Now, when I was a child reading the Word, I used to wonder, how come people don't listen to the Lord? The Lord tell them what to do. These were my questions. How come people don't listen? Because it's not in their heart to listen. They don't see the point. If you get to know the Lord, if you draw near to Him at all, and you deal with Him, you obey Him, and you listen to Him, and you hear Him out, you're going to soon learn, my friend, that He thinks of everything. Now, I'm just a mechanic from Alabama that happened to be called to the ministry, even an apostle. Just a regular, everyday man. I go back and forth to work. Well, some people will say, well, how can you go to work and you're an apostle? And Paul made tents. When you're anointed to do something, you're anointed to do it. God gave you that anointing. And I didn't ask for it. He gave it to me. But I made a vow, and I said, I'll have to do it. I didn't set out desiring to be an apostle or even a preacher. But I'm thankful for what He gave me. I did want to be a blessing. I didn't ask to be a preacher. I said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. I didn't want to waste my life because I love God. But I didn't know what to do. Now, He gave me things, and when He... A calling is a holy thing. You just gotta be, you gotta handle it like it's holy. You gotta live. There's two things that I attempt to do at all times. In order to carry any anointing or please God, the way you live is very important. The way you are from the heart. And I want my heart to be as strong as possible. I want to be like God. In character, in love, and in kindness, and even in wisdom. You can use God's knowledge if you receive it. And He's right there to help you. You can use His strength because He'll supply you. And that's what I want to do. And a lot of times I just don't know what to do. And whenever I don't, I ask and then I learn and then I do it and commit. Now, another thing you have to do, you have to use the anointing. You have to be faithful to it and with it. You're faithful to it by the way you live. You're faithful with it if you do what you're supposed to be doing with it. Now, God gave me the anointing. It's like a utility. He gave me something to help people with. It's like a tool, a utility. Heavy equipment is like a utility to help man do something, to do work, to move heavy objects, to build bridges, to lift great loads of dirt, the dump trucks, and to dig the earth and put it where you want it, to move boulders. Heavy equipment. It's a utility. So is the anointing, to break yokes, to undo the lies of darkness, to help people see, to help people become free. They can't be free on their own. The anointing of an evangelist helps people to hear. It breaks the yoke so they can make a sober decision. And when they're in the presence of that anointing and he's preaching God's word, the anointing is activated. He remits their sins and it is easy for them to receive salvation. And once they're in the kingdom of God, they're in the kingdom of God. And they have his peace. And now they're safe. What they once hated, they now love. What they once loved, they now hate. They hate the ways of the world and they love the ways of darkness. So, all this is possible by the anointing. It's a utility. It's not just oil to put on a show. It's not oil for a ritual. A calling is not just a ritual. If you've been anointed, you know, my aunt asked me a question one day and the Lord gave me holy wisdom in my answer. And she looked at me like I did it, but I didn't do it. God did it. God gave me the words and the way to put it. And it was, I could see by the countenance of her face, she was fascinated. And she was happy for me. That's the anointing. That wasn't me. I never talked like that before. So when I do these broadcasts, it's not just me talking out of my head. I'm talking out of my heart, and God is supplying me with what to say. Sometimes I get amazed at how it comes out, and I'm like, I wish I knew this 10, 15, 20 years ago. And sometimes I'm learning as I do these broadcasts because I'm operating under the anointing. He's supplying me to supply you and all those who love God. And, you know, he didn't give me this anointing to sit on the side and be useless. Now, I went through a lot of time, many years. I hardly ever preached, not because I didn't want to, but I had no platform to preach from. And I got tired of being waiting on pastors to let me preach. It was that, you know, I didn't get mad at them, but I said, Lord, you called me to the ministry. I want to serve you. Every minister wants to serve God. But sometimes people don't go forward. They don't ask questions. They don't seek the Lord about what they're supposed to be doing. And then they try to do it like they try to traditionalize their ministry and do what others are doing. But that doesn't work too good. If you follow God, he'll put you where you're supposed to be so you can be a blessing. And that's what I want to do, be a blessing. I'm going to be a blessing and not a curse. I'm going to use the anointing God gave me and supply many people with the word of God. Now, as you go forward, you can do it too. And I thank the Lord for all that he's doing. I thank the Lord because God is with us and he's going to help us do all that's in his heart. As you know, that's why we all need to follow God. It makes all the difference. God thinks of everything. When he supplies us to do something and we do it, we're sowing, which means we have to reap. We're going to reap something if we sow correctly. Whatever he gives you to do, do it his way. Your anointing works for your format, not somebody else's. Traditions are good. We're not talking about doing something in opposition against others. It's just a different need, and we're fulfilling a different need, a different aspect. Now, even the churches that, you know, as they try to cookie cut our churches and make them all do the same thing. They have the same Sunday school book, the same formats and bylaws and the things people have agreed on. And some of it is good, but see, the Holy Spirit can see things that people don't. What if, you know, it's better for, instead of just using one format, people that love God, they go in God's presence and they can teach different aspects. They don't have to, you know, it's like a hindrance when you try to, if you're going to teach and somebody wants you to stick to a format. But the Lord has given you all sorts of insights for the people. When, in other words, when the Holy Spirit has free course and people yield to Him, that's when He can do His best work. But if you try to format the Holy Spirit, now you've taken, you're doing what He's supposed to be doing. And we're just not qualified to do what He's supposed to be doing. He's supposed to guide us. We're not supposed to guide Him. We're not supposed to format Him. People say, let God be God. Well, just let God be God. Yield to Him and trust Him. And a lot of problems will be solved. God will raise up people to solve problems, especially if they stick to what God said do in the first place. But God's not going to drive our enemies out. And we want them there. That's our job. If they would have driven their enemies out, they wouldn't have been influenced. Their enemies would not have been there to influence them. After a few centuries, you saw Israel trying to do what the pagans were doing. Even down to murdering their own children in the Valley of Hinnom. They burned their children alive to a demon called Molech. Had no love for God's people. Then the enemy will say, look what they're doing. They love me more than they love you. Satan don't care nothing about you. He's trying to hurt you. He's trying to drive Israel out of the land. They compromised, and now the world's trying to drive them out of the land that God gave them in the first place. He gave it to them after covenant. God found a man that would follow Him, a man that would believe Him, and made a covenant with him. And then He gave him the center of the earth to be a blessing. Well, God gave us, He blessed us so that we can be a blessing to others. And now the United Nations, they side against Israel. They're looking at, they say, well, we want, the first generation didn't want God in their thinking. And this generation, there are half of it, or some of the people in this generation, they're just as bad or worse than the first generation that did not want God in their thinking. And now they're doing the same things. They want men to marry men and women to marry women. They want abortions. You know, they act like they want something when they get a crazy abortion law passed. Now, when the judgment of God comes down, now you know why. It's coming. It's going to happen. Good prophets that follow God, true prophets, have said that New York will be destroyed and the coastal places. It's going to happen. And when it happens, you'll know why. Because God, they sided with Satan, and they're going to have his success. They're going to have his demise. They're going to have what happens to him. He's nowhere near successful. I meant that what's coming on Satan's going to come on them. They're rushing their judgments. God's going to judge them for being evil. Instead of doing what God created us to do, some people are doing the opposite. They're on Satan's side. and they're letting Satan rule them. As Christians, as people of God, we got to do what Israel should have did centuries ago, millennials ago. We should have driven out the enemy. 2 or 3,000 years ago, they should have driven their enemies away. Well, actually, it's about 4,000 years ago. But they didn't do it, and we need to do it now. The Lord loves us, and He's with us. He's contending for us. Jesus is our high priest. He represents us to God, and He represents God to us. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, so that we can live and thrive on earth, and be the light of the world, and grow, and help people see the goodness of God. That's our purpose. So when God anointed me to be an apostle, some people got mad because they thought I was trying to show out. But that's what the devil did. He tried to show out. He exalted himself. But what God gave me to do, I take it serious. And you have to handle holy things holy. Now, like I said, I didn't ask to be an apostle, but I thank Him that I am. And I just want to fulfill the calling at this point. And I will do all that's in His heart with great joy. It's a blessing to me to do God's work. And I want to do it right. And I want you to be whatever God wants you to be and do whatever He wants you to do. It's not right to not serve God, and He gave you a gift to serve Him with. And we have to receive His light, His word, His understanding, His truth, His wisdom, His knowledge, and drive the darkness far away. Darkness can't help you. I want all my enemies under my foot, just like all of Israel's enemies should have been driven away. And I thank the Lord for His love. I thank the Lord for where He's going. And I love His direction. If you follow His directions, you have top success. If disobedience is the first cause of prophecy, of poverty, if disobedience is the first cause of poverty, then obedience is the first cause of prosperity. My prosperity begins with my faithful obedience. My faith is in God, and I work and I do His work, and everything that all the light He give me, I use to be a blessing to His people. And I do it in love because I really love my God. He loves me. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to mightily move, mightily, in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.